It's 2004, and Globe Telecom was doing well. They were among the first to offer mobile subscription-based services, which paid off well. In 2004, Globe owned a 40% share of the market. Emboldened with what technology could bring, they acquired GXchange, and it became a wholly owned subsidiary. Its purpose was to capitalize on technological innovations and set its eyes on fintech.
Come, let's hear it. What's the idea here?
An executive asked. For the past week, they had an idea sprint where everyone could share new ideas without looking foolish.
So, I come from a humble background.
An engineer spoke out.
I remember spending days helping out in the sari-sari stores. You know what? In those days, cockroaches, they would climb all over my feet. But we managed to make a better living when my mother and father worked in Singapore. And I still remember that they were always complaining about the process of remitting money. So they ended up dealing through padala.
Padala, among Filipino overseas foreign workers, refers to the remittance of money, usually via an unofficial channel. There would be an agreed foreign exchange rate and commission like a bank. But unlike official channels, they didn't charge high flat fees. Padala was a simple arbitrage opportunity that soon turned lucrative when 10 million Filipinos were working overseas. Back in GXchange, the engineer proposed to do away with both bank transfers and padala, and instead take advantage of text messaging and create a text-to-transfer type service with minimal fees. Using text was a smart move, and everyone agreed, since the Philippines had the highest text message volume in the world.
This is a great idea. Let's launch it.
In 2004, GXchange released GCash, a simple text-to-transfer service that fell on deaf ears. But it was never thrown away, as the fundamentals of its creation felt sound. The team was right. In the years that followed, GCash would evolve, fail, then evolve again. But come 2017, their quiet faith would finally be rewarded when Ant Financial invested in GCash, sending the app on a rocket ship of growth. This would attract attention, many more investors, and another behemoth from China, Tencent. Except this time, Tencent was not coming in as a friend. They were coming in to take down GCash. From 1UP Media, this is Empires, episode 4 of a 4-part series, GCash versus Maya. The battle between GCash and PayMaya, now renamed as Maya, is part of a larger picture. From a local standpoint, it represents the ongoing telecommunication struggle between Globe Telecom and PLDT, in which Globe owns GCash and PLDT owns Maya. Initially, the war seemed like a David versus Goliath story, because PLDT had benefited from government contracts during President Marcos's rule. Even though subsequent presidents sought to undo Marcos's favor, PLDT still had 4 times the market value compared to the second biggest competitor, Globe. the industry would mostly remain like this until the dawn of the information age. In the past decade, technological advancements have revolutionized the way we store, transform, and share data. The consumption of information has skyrocketed, and this, in turn, has created a huge demand for data. Globe's newly appointed CEO, Ernest Ku, had observed the change in the United States and convinced their investors, the Ayala Group and Singtel, to catch this wave. Over $1 billion was spent to overhaul the system and culture to shift Globe from a utility mindset to one of customer satisfaction. The money and time invested had phenomenal effects. In the next 3 years, Globe's revenues increased by 33% and net income tripled to $16 billion. The telecommunications industry had now become a two-horse race. While Globe and PLDT waged their war, the Philippines went through radical change, where data accessibility and reliability improved. Though the system still is not perfect, Filipinos can now access data faster than ever before, and it has opened up the fintech industry. This attracted investors, and the Philippines was sucked into a regional war between two Chinese business empires. Ant Financial, who invested in GCash, and Tencent, who invested in Maya. Today, this war seems almost over because GCash has over 30% more users and is valued about 40% higher than Maya at $2 billion. But according to insiders, Maya might have intentionally chosen to lag behind, mainly because they weren't sure if the fintech industry would evolve without significant spending. In 2004, 80% of Filipinos were unbanked, as they lacked the documents or the money, or they didn't even see the need for a bank. Changing the nation's socioeconomic status and culture would seem too expensive to PLDT. But for Globe, who became a frontrunner in catching trends, it might have seemed like an opportunity that they couldn't miss. So back then, Globe was left alone to figure out how the industry should evolve. It's 2017, 3 years before COVID-19 would forever change the world of e-payments in the Philippines. Ant Financial had just invested in GCash and shared publicly that they would cross-share expertise. In the 8th-floor meeting room at W Global Center, Taguig City, both Ant and GCash executives were in a meeting.
"What makes us powerful is trust,"
an Ant executive said. Everyone from GCash was all ears. After all, Ant grew to become larger than Goldman Sachs. The Ant executive began a flowery presentation, explaining a 14-digit transaction number. Alipay's first transaction in October 2003 by Cui Wei Ping. Because he had wanted to purchase a big-ticket item, a Fuji camera, he decided to rely on Alipay, which would only release the money after he had received the camera.
"Without our trusted security, Wei Ping would not have used Alipay. So trust is the most important in financial payments."
By the end of the presentation, GCash had renewed confidence that the GCash wallet would be adopted everywhere. Except it wasn't. To be fair, the total e-money accounts grew by 3 million a year for the next 2 years. A good number, but not what you would expect, knowing that Ant Financial was providing its expertise. While Ant Financial probably allowed GCash to leapfrog their competitors in terms of security, The Philippines was a very different country from China. A point that GCash CEO Martha Sazon has said publicly on record. You see, the Philippines is an archipelago made of more than 7,000 islands, over 25 times the number of islands as China. Solving for safety and security is not enough. Finding a way to distribute will also be key. Luckily, the interweaving waterways had made sari-sari stores, a type of mom-and-pop store, the center of these island communities. In total, there are over 1.3 million sari-sari stores that serve over 90% of Filipino consumers. GCash's initial distribution push neglected the sari-sari stores and instead utilized Globe's investor, the Ayala Corporation, which owns a network of 30 malls across the country. But very quickly, GCash got to work and started GCash Po, a technology that allowed sari-sari stores to double up as money outlets. Consumers who visited could now choose to cash in, cash out, or pay their bills via GCash. Because the majority of Filipinos were unbanked and held physical currency, they needed a place for them to digitize their wealth, or there was no reason to have an e-wallet. The sari-sari stores were a distributed way to do so. Then they had to solve for utility. If the digital wallet couldn't pay for anything, again, there would be no reason to have one. Following Maslow's hierarchy of needs, a framework that details different levels of human needs and motivations, they targeted the most basic level first: grocery shopping, utilities, and transportation. All around, the Philippine palengke, or public markets, where groceries were sold, started allowing GCash. Then, the tricycle operators and drivers associations followed suit. By the end of 2018, GCash was looking more like an everyday wallet, which caught the attention of PLDT. Bicol, a region located in the southeastern portion of the Luzon Island, was bustling with activity. A team of executives and researchers from Smart Communications, a wholly owned subsidiary of PLDT, was conducting consumer research. The Smart Communications founder, Orlando B. Vea, had issued a challenge to launch a new fintech app within 100 days. Uncertain of what might interest the locals, the team decided to interview people within Bicol, a fairly rural part of the Philippines that produces rice and coconuts.
Walk us through your online payment process,
the team asked. Surprisingly, their customer stood up and replied,
"Follow me."
He led the team down rows of orange-colored houses before knocking at the front door of another.
"Yes?"
A voice came from behind the door.
"Hi, I wanted to buy airline tickets again."
"Okay, give me a second."
A man greeted the team and handed them a credit card. Confused, the Smart Communications team then followed the consumer back, where he showed them how he purchased his products, then returned the card back to his friend.
"Why did you go to his house? Everyone goes to his house."
The Smart Communications team would leave the town realizing that only one family had a credit card. Because credit cards require documentation and a bank account, which the majority of the townsfolk did not have, the family's credit card became something like a community card. This presented an opportunity. Smart Communications could provide an easy way to get a credit card linked to an e-wallet. 100 days later, they launched PayMe, with a value proposition that you could shop online without a traditional credit card. The launch was timed with an online travel promotion, which instantly gave PayMe a boost. Then they paired it with a campaign, Now You Can, hoping that Filipinos would realize that now they can have more access with their credit card. Now here's where the story gets messy, but also significantly more interesting. PayMe never took off after the promotion. However, it did not go unnoticed. In 2018, 1 year after Ant Financial invested in GCash, Tencent came in to invest in PayMe, which was then renamed to PayMaya. In the board meetings, they realized that Filipinos do not trust finance and find technology scary, which stunted PayMaya's growth. In order to solve this, investors recommended that the team find a cute company mascot, like how Tencent has a cartoonish penguin. Today, the national animal in the Philippines is the Philippine eagle. But before, it was the Mayang Pula, a small red bird, or as folks like to call it, a red Maya. Using a familiar animal, PayMaya took a sparrow-like bird and made it so cute that people questioned how the mascot could fly. In 2019, they relaunched with an intuitive campaign, Don't Pay Cash, Pay Maya, which officially was not a jab against their competitor, GCash, although it's hard not to see the connection. An underdog had emerged, but GCash has proven to be a formidable opponent by integrating with their partner's vast network. In 2018, they released GSave, a savings service that partnered with Ayala-owned bank, BPI, to enable Filipinos to open their first savings account via GCash. Then in 2019, they released GCredit, partnering with Fuse Lending, which is wholly owned by Globe, to allow access to credit. Previously, most Filipinos could only access credit via loan sharks or unsecure peer-to-peer lending with a 30% interest rate. Luckily for PayMaya, a category-shifting event similar to the information age was about to happen that would, unfortunately, bode ill to the rest of the world.
The World Health Organization has officially called it COVID-19. Co for corona, Vi for virus, D for disease, and 19 because it started last year.
The confirmed case arrived in the Philippines from Wuhan, China.
And the Philippines has become the first country to close its financial markets in response to the COVID-19 pandemic.
On January 30, 2020, a 39-year-old lady was admitted to San Lazaro Hospital in Manila and tested positive for COVID-19. The great pandemic had begun, and it was about to take both GCash and PayMaya on a rocket ship of growth.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
On March 15, 2020, Metro Manila began a partial lockdown by suspending travel to and from Manila.
Domestic air and domestic sea travel to and from Metro Manila shall be suspended beginning March 15, 2020.
A day later, the president approved funds for national and local governments to respond against COVID-19. Instantly, the fear of COVID overwhelmed the fear of finance or technology, and the whole of the Philippines started turning towards GCash and PayMaya. The war for eyeballs was on, and PayMaya fired 3 campaigns. They continued their Don't Pay Cash, PayMaya campaign consistently, while running campaigns on mental wellness via PayMaya It Forward, and on cashbacks with Balikbayad. At the same time, they started focusing efforts on micro, small, and medium-sized businesses, eventually releasing a 60 million peso or $1 million fund to digitize pandemic-hit businesses. PayMaya's strategy, while diverse, was focusing more on businesses and partners. By increasing the number of vendors that PayMaya could be used on, it might draw more users. At this time, GCash had been blasting away similar advertising and promotions to consumers, and this led to an accelerated rate of downloads, which grew by a massive 65%. But in the middle of the year, both PayMaya and GCash received a huge boost from the government when the state decided to provide relief through digital payments. The public was forced to download the apps, and via the Social Amelioration Program, over 16 billion pesos, or 300 million US dollars worth of government aid was disbursed instantly. Previously, the process took months. As 2020 came to an end, both PayMaya and GCash would get their Christmas wish as Filipinos turned towards their apps yet again. Starting with what locals call the Burr months, Christmas carols begin playing all over the Philippines once September hits. In the lead up to the holiday, houses would decorate, churches would go on overdrive, and godchildren would be excited for aguinaldo, a holiday tradition where godchildren practice mano, an honoring hand gesture to give respect to their elders. But make no mistake, they aren't just excited to hold the hands of their godparents to their forehead. They're probably much more excited for the money given after. PayMaya launched with PayMaya Aguinaldo and GCash with Merry GCash that focused on gamifying the experience. GCash, in particular, went into overdrive, allowing daily gifts of up to 5,000 pesos or 90 US dollars to be won simply by gifting e-money to each other. In 2020, GCash maintained its lead with over 33 million users. But PayMaya followed closely behind at 28 million. Part of the reason for PayMaya closing in on GCash was a push towards cashback incentives, an intuitive campaign with Don't Pay Cash, PayMaya, and establishing its Smart Padala network. Today, the Smart Padala network is an impressive 55,000 agent-run service by PayMaya in the Philippines that enables cash transfers via mobile phone. Come 2021 and 22, GCash and PayMaya had both upgraded with a bunch of features. Because 90% of Filipinos don't invest, both offered some type of investment program. They also offered loans and provided an online marketplace for vendors. While both apps were in a feature-based war, matching each other on product offerings, their marketing teams were hard at work, and in 2021, PayMaya shot the most obvious blow. It released a new campaign, Too Good to Be Number Two, literally to dig at GCash, who were facing user issues. Because GCash grew so rapidly through 2021, it was struggling with real-time transaction reporting, and occasionally, it would be down for maintenance. PayMaya, on the other hand, was boasting that they had no issues, and proved itself by being the largest processor of commercial payments. But the GCash team had one huge advantage. Having more users and allowing access to credit early gave GCash a wealth of data on user credit behavior. Merging the data with their spending, GCash developed the G-Score, an almost real-time rating that reliably predicts a user's credit worthiness. Previously, a credit rating could only be calculated if a user had a bank account, or a credit card, or provided tons of historical paper documentation. But GCash had automated the process into the G-Score, and this data is then sold commercially via GConnect. Corporations could now find a marketable target segment with GCash's data, or develop financial products. it also motivated more users to use GCash meaningfully. While both fintech firms were battling it out commercially, their parent companies, PLDT and Globe, were fighting a battle on coolness. In 2021, the emergence of TikTok had taken the Philippines by storm, rivaling Instagram in user adoption. TikTok dance challenges had further fueled the Korean wave, which was known for slick dance moves. Taking the initiative, Globe then released an advertisement featuring Blackpink. And months later, PLDT responded with a commercial featuring BTS. By the end of 2022, the user numbers started to get hazy, with different media outlets reporting different numbers. But it's commonly agreed that GCash has about 60 million, 30% more than PayMaya. It's also valued at about 40% higher than Maya at 2 billion. To many onlookers, the war seems over, but the reality might be more nuanced. Part of the reason behind PayMaya's lagging growth was a rebranding that finally took root in the middle of 2022. PayMaya had been observing a shift in the financial industry. Previously, before fintech, people could settle everything in a single bank. But now, because each tech firm tries to compete in different segments of a bank, a tech-savvy user has multiple financial applications, from investments, savings, to day-to-day cash transfers. Rebranded as Maya in 2022, they are now marketing themselves as a one-stop shop, the only app needed for all financial needs. This has already proven to be effective among commercial partners, where the majority of large businesses, including McDonald's, Jollibee, and Starbucks, are all using Maya-based payment systems. But among consumers, early signs of a similar shift are happening. While GCash is the everyday e-wallet for day-to-day cash transfers, Maya seems to be used for utilities and savings. The war between Globe and PLDT is long drawn. Starting back in the late 1990s, when President Ramos privatized the industry. Years on, the war continues, fought on broader ground, attracting titans from China, and likely lasting through to the next century. From 1UP Media, this is Empires, episode 4 of a 4-part series, GCash versus Maya. Next on Empires, we'll speak to someone in the industry to provide perspective on the battle between GCash and Maya. And in our next series, we explore Alibaba, the China giant that influenced many of the tech wars within Southeast Asia. Empires is a 1UP Media original, produced and edited by Guang Jin, audio experience by Ethan Sam, and narrated by Luis Cruz. A quick word on our reenactments and dramatizations. While we can't know exactly what they say, think, or feel at the moment, it is all based on research. Thank you for listening.